to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Susan, and I'm really glad to be with you today, especially since I brought a live guest. And we'll be ready to continue with the theme of good news stories about small towns we've been doing lately. Let me introduce Andy Webb. Hello, Andy.
Hello there. How are you?
Andy is with the Kiwanis Club in Roland. We'll be talking with him later. And we'll talk about the things that make Roland a good place to live and work also. Our concluding interview about Roland will be with Jerry Hunsacker, a local entrepreneur who started a small company called Innovative Lighting in Roland 15 years ago. Well, it's no longer a small company, so we'll hear about that before leaving Roland today. The end of our program today will consist of previews of what's coming up in the next week here at KHOI for the next week or two during our fun drive.
What led us to Roland this week was an article in the Story City Herald about a food pantry just opening at the Roland Story Middle School. The article described how Principal Brian Town got the idea and how Andy Webb and the Kiwanians were helping stock the shelves. Of course, it's never good news when people are hungry and need supplemental food, but the good news is how quickly and effectively the school addressed the need when the teachers became aware of it.
Well, that's right, Susan, but the idea really developed at the school, and I think Brian Town, the principal, is the person to tell that story. Brian, are you there today?
Yeah, good morning.
Well, here we are talking again. We talked earlier in the year at the time we had the senior dinner at Christmas, and we talked about the veterans thing that you do every year, and now we're talking about this food bank. And tell us a little bit about how this got started, how you became aware of the need, etc.
Sure. Well, last spring when I interviewed for the principal position here at the middle school, one of the questions the parent group asked me was how I would be involved in the community. And one thing I shared with them was my past experience in Johnston with what was called the Backpack Program, which we do here at our elementary in Roland Story. And I said that would be one thing that I would look to get started. And it just so happens that when my wife and I were invited to the local Kiwanis group here in Roland for a fabulous dinner and the opportunity to meet some new people, Andy Webb came up to me and brought up the idea as well with the backpack program. And so he and I seemed to be on the same page and didn't even know it. So we started talking about that. And through that process, I contacted Tammy Nielsen at the Food Bank of Iowa in Des Moines and told her, hey, we want to get started doing this. I know our elementary does it. You know, help us get started and let us know what we need to do. And through that process and conversation with her, she explained to me that there is another program outside of the backpack program called the school pantries. So she told me further about that and said that it's a good opportunity to not only feed middle school kids who really need more than those snack items that are put in their backpack, but also to reach out to their families as well. I shared that with Andy. And Andy said, hey, sounds great. Kiwanis would love to be a part of it. As you know, the Kiwanis group is a huge contributing member to all the community events that we do here. A lot of community outreach from them. And he said, you know what? Our group will be the group that does the food runs and goes down there and picks up all the food and brings it back to stock the pantry.
Wow. So that opened on March 31st, right, Brian?
Yes, correct. Yep.
And how does it differ from the backpack program? That is, I know we do that in the elementary school, and the backpack is sort of a tide you over type thing that we do at our church. Actually, we do that backpack program at our church in Story City. But this is more substantial, is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Like you said, it's kind of those are more like snack items for kids to kind of get them through the weekend, and it's usually just for that student. But here's an opportunity to feed some growing middle school kids. As you know, they eat quite a bit more than elementary kids, and it gives us the opportunity to feed their entire family as well. So we have all kinds of canned goods, boxed goods, The food pantry gave us $700 to buy a new fridge, and we found a $1,500 fridge for $675.
Wow,
amazing
great.
Fridge. So we can now have perishable items here as well.
Well, currently, I think the Food Bank of Iowa distributes about 1 million pounds of food per month, and it's really striving to increase that number to 2 million pounds. And, boy, the room that you're using there at the school, how did you arrange that? Because school space is always at a premium, I'm sure.
Yes, it is. It is. When Tammy Nielsen from the food bank was here, she asked if you have a room for all your food. And at that point, I said, boy, I don't know if we do. So I spent a little time kind of walking around our building and looking, and went into a room that in years past used to be a concession stand years ago, and then also was a weight room years ago, but currently served as storage space for a lot of custodial supplies. And so I talked to our custodians, Mr. Mel and Mr. Richardson, and said, hey, what do you think about getting this place cleared out, finding some other space for these items and throwing some things and clearing it out? And they said, well, I think we can do it, but it's going to take a few days. Well, they got it done in about a half a day. So they worked really hard, got it cleared out, and Tammy Nielsen said, yep, this would be a great space for you guys to use.
So everybody signed on. The janitorial staff made that arrangement for that room to be cleaned out and made available.
Mm-hmm.
And your staff, too. Tell us about the teachers and their involvement and the ongoing support for this.
Yes, yes. Our staff is always looking for ways to serve our kids. Not only do our teachers do a great job every day here with our students in the classroom and meeting their needs here, our teachers always want to do more. They want to meet their needs and serve the whole student, which I greatly appreciate. And unknowingly to me, they were in the trivia contest here with the chamber, and they got third place, which meant they won $130, and which they could use for our school. So they donated that money to the food pantry. And then we also have a sixth grade teacher here, Mr. Nelson, who does some artwork types of things. And from his sales, he will donate a certain amount of money to different causes. And he sold one art piece and wanted to donate that the money to the food pantry. So he donated that to us. So currently we do have a little bit of money in the bank, so to speak. So one thing that our staff is going to do is determine how do we want to spend that money. Because obviously our food is free that Andy and his group pick up for us. But we have that money. What can we do to meet more of our students' needs with that money?
Well, you know, you might talk a little bit about when the food pantry's open. What hours are they open?
Sure, sure. We're open every Friday from 1 to 3 o'clock, and all families need to do is come here to the middle school, come into the main office, and Jess Bergen or Sarah Jensen, the two secretaries who have been instrumental in helping organize the inside of the food pantry, or myself will help get the person to the food pantry, let them pick out their items, and then they're free to go. After that, they do not need to make an appointment. They just simply show up during that time frame and get what they need. And then we're also open from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock the first Sunday of every month.
So people can come into the school quite confidentially, really, and pick up their food. So there's no real identification of them as a needy family. And the school is open at that time. It's just like going to the food bank in any community. And that's just a terrific thing because, you know, you're talking about families in a predominantly middle-class town, and many of these people have food insecurities that nobody even suspects is going on. That sort of food insecurity might be a temporary situation where someone's laid off or their job hours go down, or all kinds of family things can interfere with what normally you spend on food. So this is a very, I would say, discreet way for families to come in and know they're being served. Now, you've already had one weekend. How did that go?
It went pretty well. Friday we didn't have anyone come, which was kind of expected the first time. We're just starting to advertise this to our middle school families so that they can partake in this. And then Sunday, we did have two families come in and pick up some items, which is great. And our plan is to simply grow from here, given the opportunity for our students and their families to come in and help themselves to the food pantry, whether it's just a tough week, a tough month, or tough year, whatever it may be. We're here to help. We have plenty of food, and we want to clear our shelves.
Well, it's also really showing some sensitivity to people and their needs and to discreetly make sure they have an opportunity to come in. And I think you have a core value statement that I'm kind of attracted to. Humbly serving others, and people are our priority. Now, This whole project fits into that. And you might tell us about, is it Kari Stevens, a Roland Story senior? And she did some painting at that food pantry to cheer it up?
Yep, she is going to take on that project. She and one other high school student, I can't remember his first name, but I know his last name is Rizal. The two of them are sending me samples of what they could do with artwork in there, and they're kind of letting us as a staff decide what do we want for decor in that room. We did paint it kind of a gray color. It looks pretty nice in there. But we want to make it the most inviting space that we can for families. And those two students have graciously accepted the challenge to come up with some artwork that we can put in that room just to make it more appealing to everyone that comes and visits us.
Well, what a bonus. An art student gets to further her art education and experience by painting some great things on the wall of the food pantry at Roland Story Middle School. I think that's a great idea, Brian. Now, when you put that together with your senior dinner and your veterans observance, it really fits into your motto of humbly serving and people as a priority. So how could it be better than what you're doing right now? I mean, maybe a year from now, there'll be a whole new project we could come in and talk about. But right now, I am very impressed that you're doing the food pantry, very impressed with the Kiwanians and Roland who are making that logistical run to pick up the food at the Iowa Food Bank. And you're going really on donations also, Brian. How does that work? Do you have opportunities for folks to donate?
We do. In fact, the 4-H group here in Roland Story, they are doing a food drive. And next weekend, originally they were going to do with their food drive and drop it off for Fishes and Loaves in Story City. Well, the Boy Scout troop, they did something similar a week or two ago and just overflowed the shelves there at Fishes and Loaves. So Amy Fega, who is with the 4-H group here, asked if the food could be donated here to our food pantry. And I said, absolutely. We'll gladly take that. One thing that we would love to have as donations are personal care products, whether that's toilet paper, paper towels, shaving, those kinds of things. We would take those items. Also had a local farmer reach out and say, hey, I have about 2-3 dozen eggs a day that we would love to donate to the food pantry if that is all right. I checked that out, and that is definitely okay as well. So we will have some farm fresh eggs starting this Friday. So we're very excited about adding that to the food pantry.
Well, Brian, that's all very exciting. Congratulations on establishing that food bank at the middle school. And that is the food bank at Roland Story Middle School in Roland. And I'll give a phone number for the middle school for anyone interested in donating or supporting the program in any way. It's 515-388-4348. Thanks, Brian, and I'm sure we'll talk with you again in the future.
That sounds good. Thanks for having me this morning. I appreciate it.
Very good. Well, this is KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host for today, Paul Wearson, and my co-host is Susan Franson. We've been talking with Brian Towne, principal at Roland Story Middle School, and we're going to be talking with Andy Webb about the new food pantry that is opened at the middle school in Roland. And before we introduce our last guest, I'd like to continue my conversation with Roland and Roland and about Roland with Andy. He's serving on the Kiwanis of Roland. Both Roland Story and Story City are members of the Roland Kiwanis. And we've looked at small towns. I don't believe we've mentioned service clubs before. And a good club can spark a lot of positive activities in a community. Hello, Andy.
Good morning, Paul.
Now, tell us about the Kiwanis Club in Roland. What's currently going on there? How many members do you have at Roland?
We currently have 24 members. We're just adding a couple of new members from last night and reaching out, hoping to find more people in the community that would like to be a part of Kiwanis. Kiwanis is dedicated to serving the children of the world, and we do a lot of projects in Roland and around Story County to impact children's lives.
Yeah, I know there's a real emphasis on youth in the Kiwanis organizations. It is Kiwanis International. It's all over the world.
Yes, it is.
And in Roland, Iowa, it's thriving. You have 24 members and two new ones, and so you're in a growth pattern. Tell us about some of the things in Roland that the club always does and they're known for in supporting the community, with annual events, things you do all the time.
Well, one of the things, we have a key club at the Roland Story High School, and that's a very active group. And then we have a builders club at the middle school, and both of those organizations are targeted to teach the students about giving back and serving and developing leadership skills. And so both of those groups are very active. In fact, it was fun when we first started with the Builders Club at the middle school. We said, well, we need to have officers. Who would like to be an officer? And every hand went up.
Oh, they all wanted to volunteer.
They all wanted to be a volunteer.
What a political environment.
Wait a minute. Maybe you don't understand. Who would like to be president? And they all raised their hand. So it's quite different than adults.
Wow.
Ended up having about four elections to narrow them down to do it. And they ended up doing a lower class officers and an upper class officers. And they're very active there at the middle school. The key club at the high school is very active. And we're very pleased with what they do. And we just finished Teen Maze, which this is their seventh year they announced, and that's a program that involves 1,100 seventh graders in Story and Greene County. And it's the students go through a maze of different life decisions. So I was in the courtroom, the one before that's the party room. They teach the students about what are the impact of drinking or drugs can be. They actually have special glasses and then have them walk a straight line and find out it's difficult.
Yes, I've been involved with that before. Yeah. It's fantastic because the kids go through this maze, and one of the things they wear is a pregnancy apron.
Right.
And they also have child care. They're encumbered by carrying an infant. Everyone knows then what a real load it is to have a child when you're a teenager. And they have a juvenile court. And they have the most graphic thing is a set of lungs taken
yes.
from a cancer victim. So there's all kinds of graphic things for them to see that are warning posts about what not to do. But you do a lot of fundraising, too, for your own club. I think you do pancakes and all that sort of thing.
We do pancakes. One of our events that's both a service project and a fundraiser is our annual softball tournament, which we hold in June. And that's a great event. We students, softball, high school students come in from all the different counties around, and it's a Thursday through Saturday event, and just great participation and a lot of fun for the community. At the same time, that helps us to raise money that's there. One of our big projects is we do all the recycling for Roland. So we recycle the newspapers and then we all, and also cardboard, and then we recycle all of the bottles and cans. So Kiwanis, with that money, provides high school scholarships. We'll be doing four $500 scholarships this year. And then we also will be putting on the fireworks for the city of Roland. We put that on at no cost for the whole community, and we pay for it.
I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. You've taken on a lot of projects just in the last two or three years that
yes,
are brand
yeah.
new. And, of course, we're talking today about the food bank at the middle school. So look how impactful that service club is. And we know that service clubs across America are having some problems growing and sustaining themselves. And Roland seems to be outstanding. It must be a factor of leadership. And I happen to know that you have been a key spark plug since you've moved into the area. You've really given some life and excitement to that Kiwanis Club in Roland. And so hats off to you, Andy. Yeah. I know that you have been instrumental because I know that we didn't have any youth organization at the middle school. We've had the Key Club for some time, but that is brand new at the middle school.
Second year, yeah.
It's the second. You're already into the second year.
Yeah.
So you see, here in Roland, you have not only a great middle school, but also you have this marvelous service club that does everything from fireworks to food banks, and that is pretty special. You can be proud of that, Andy. Isn't it fun, though? It's fun, isn't it?
Well, of course it's fun, and the thing is that Story City's club aged out, and I'm in the process of trying to get them going again. And so if you're interested in serving the children of the Roland Story School District, we'd encourage you to get involved with the Story City Club or get involved with the Roland Club. We're really small compared to the other clubs in Story County, but between the two cities, we could have the equivalent of a 50-member club, okay, with each one having distinctive activities for their city, but then together serving the Roland Story community. And so that's what my vision is, to see us really help to get things. We just donated $500 to the softball program to help them get some new equipment and add to what the school district is able to do. So that's what we want to do.
Well, you know, I'm very impressed by that list of activities in a town the size of Roland and how many things you're involved with that go beyond youth. But at the same time, it all ties in general, to the general task and goal of enhancing life for youth and young people in a community. And I'm very impressed with what the Roland Kiwanis Club has done and continues to do. Hats off to all you guys and girls.
That's right.
It used to be a men's club.
Used to be, but now we have women. My wife's a member.
She's sitting here patiently while we do this today. And yes, I know. And it was silly not to have that co-ed years ago, but we all know that a lot of organizations that used to be confined to one sex is now co-ed, as they say, on campus. And that's much needed and well worth it to involve everybody in the Kiwanis Club. So, hey, Andy, we want to thank you for being here today. Andy Webb from the Kiwanis Club of Roland, a real spark plug to make that organization function and grow. And he's been telling us about all the wonderful projects in Roland and with and for the Kiwanis Club.
I'd like to say just one thing, if I could, in parting, and that is we have excellent Kiwanis Clubs all through Story County and through your whole listening area. If you have a Kiwanis Club, I'd encourage people to contact them and become involved. And if you don't, if you would contact us, we would be happy to work with them about getting a club going in their own community.
Andy, I believe you. You are a spark plug. Thanks again, Andy
Thank
Webb,
you.
Roland Kiwanis.
Well, thank you. And for those of you just tuning in, this is KHOI Community Radio, where we're exploring the good things happening in small towns. My co-host, Paul Wearson, and I have been talking with Principal Brian Towne of the Roland Story Middle School about how the food pantry promotes the core educational values of the school, as well as serving a need in the community. Paul has continued the conversation with Kiwanian Andy Webb about the role of service clubs, especially the Roland Kiwanis. Now it's time to turn to something that really sets Roland apart from most other little Norwegian towns of just over 1,200 people. Innovative lighting. A company started by someone from this area, Jerry Hansacker, that has been a pioneer in LED lighting since just before the beginning of the 21st century. We have Jerry on the line with us, together with the current president of the company, Pat Meyer. I know we want to hear the story of the origin and the idea for the company directly from Jerry, but I think Pat wants to introduce him first. Pat?
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Pat.
How are you, Pat? Paul Wearson here. I'm the co-host with Susan. Welcome to the show this morning. And just talk about the history, the story of innovative lighting. Pat, what do you want to say about the current situation there?
Well, innovative lighting has been around since 1993, and we have the founder and executive chairman here with us this morning. And I'd like to have Jerry talk about the founding of innovative lighting, and then we can talk about the future of our Genesis lighting. Jerry?
Good morning.
Hello, Jerry. Paul Wearson here and Susan Franson. Tell us about how this got started.
It was an idea. I patented a product. I used to practice law, and I patented a product and was expecting to have other people build the product and send me royalty checks. That didn't exactly work out. We had an economic downturn in that industry about the time that that product was ready to be shared with other people in the industry, and so rather than give up on the idea, I started finding a manufacturer that would manufacture part of the product, and started a company that would sell the product. And then that grew. I got to a point in time where I had to, I think it was my wife was mainly the instrument in saying, you need to choose where you're going, one direction or the other, practice law or run this company, because we were spending all our vacations and breaks attending trade shows rather than having family fun. So I think I think she was surprised when I said, well, I think I'll just run the company and not practice law anymore. That was in about 1997. In 2000, we moved to Roland because we were in the Algona community, but we were outgrowing our facility, and we needed to find a new facility. And both of our families were from the Story City, actually Radcliffe area. So we moved to Roland and brought the company, and have been growing it ever since then. We've added two other locations, one in Albion and one in Ankeny since then. The company has expanded from those single product to over 1,100 products. We employ, I think it's close to 80 people in the Roland area, and then have about 120 people in the company.
That's great. You know, you have quite a number of employees that are on board with you, and you might be a little somewhat descriptive of the product you came up with. This is sort of the ground floor of LED lighting. Is that right?
Well, the first product, LEDs were not bright enough to be in that product. It was a marine navigation light that was in the first product. And then, but as we go to trade shows and you have one product to sell, then you have one yes or no for the whole year, because if you didn't get on that model year, it's like cars. You didn't get on till the next year. So we started adding products, and at that time, it was our first products then were interior lighting that were LED-based, because they weren't putting any courtesy lights, or very few courtesy lights in boats, because they drain the batteries, but LEDs wouldn't drain the batteries. So got a lot of interest in the LED product, introduced that whole industry to LEDs because they hadn't thought of them as anything but an indicator light on your phone or tell you your computer screen's on prior to that time. And now we're actually projecting light with the LEDs.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm aware of is they're used in lighting display cases in grocery stores. Is that right, Jerry?
Yes, yes.
That was one of your first things, too, I think. So it's gone from a navigation light on boats to something that's quite widespread, and I know I see LED lighting everywhere I look, and it really is cost-efficient. It's much more cheap to run than regular incandescent lighting by quite a measure, isn't it, Jerry?
Yes. LEDs actually are considered a premium lighting today, you know, going from not even being considered and not really being bright enough. The white LED didn't start being commercially available till about 2005, and then yet today we're seeing them in the ceilings of offices. We've seen them. We see them in street lights. We see them in the refrigerated cases. We do quite a few bit of refrigerated case work, and so then I see a huge future for LEDs, and then since they're a unique digital device, they are easy to control. This gave us the opportunity to also develop a control system for LEDs. And I'll let Pat talk to you about this is our newest product, and I'm very excited about it, and it should help keep Innovative Strong in all the communities that we're located in.
Yeah, Pat, you might clue us in about the future of innovative technologies. What's going to happen?
Well, we've leveraged all that legacy and knowledge into a new LED lights for commercial buildings and potentially residential buildings. But basically, we're taking the solid-state device of an LED and mounting that to a plastic troffer, which you see in your ceiling that we manufacture in Roland, and we're making an LED light that you can control with software. And by allowing, you get the function of lights going on and off and dimming, but what now you can create is the form of a daylight rhythm. So we can mimic lighting as the sun comes up and respond to that with the same fixture, take it from a very cool light of 2700 Kelvin all the way over to 6000 Kelvin. So you get what's called the circadian rhythm. And so by doing that, you can really create an optimal environment for your workforce, or if it was in a senior care home or in schools. We're looking to use this technology and try to drive this into new schools. There's a recent study that kids test better with the optimal light. There's a recent study that shows how lighting can help prevent falls in senior care facilities. So this lighting could be transformational as we look to the future.
And you folks are in on the ground floor. And once again, you have manufacturing centers in Roland and Albia and Ankeny. So the total of 120 employees spans those three locations. Is that correct?
Correct.
And are you planning an expansion in the future?
Well, we hope so. The plan is to grow significantly with this product line. We've just really begun selling the product line. Our full launch of this new technology really happened this February, and we're shipping product today. So we want to thank all our team members. They've been working very hard to allow us to have this success, and we're looking for more success in the future.
Well, what I really like about your company and your program is that it maintains employment in the manufacturing sector in small towns in Iowa. When you look at Albia and Roland, and of course, Ankeny is a growing urban community, but in every case, this is manufacturing in Iowa, and everyone talks about manufacturing being on the downside, and this is a breath of fresh air, not only when you look at manufacturing in general, but wow, for Albia and Roland, very, very important to have that number of jobs. And Jerry, are you still there?
Yes.
Jerry, now you're retired. Is that correct? Are you a founder emeritus or something? What's your title now?
there was a backlog with this new product launch and stuff that I'm still finding things to do around the company for a little while longer, but I hope to get fully retired sometime this year.
Well, you're a fantastic entrepreneur. Interesting that you were a lawyer also. Was that helpful in founding your firm to be a lawyer?
Yes, but I still know when not to rely on my own aging legal experience and hire lawyers. So we do have several active lawyers that work with us.
Well, you must have a sales force also. What sort of sales force? Pat, you might speak to that. How many folks are out there marketing the product for you?
Yeah, so we use a system of independent reps as well as dedicated reps. We're just starting that. So we have around five today. We're really focusing on the Midwest, growing our rep and our customers. This goes to market a little differently. Again, this is low voltage. So think about no conduit in the ceiling and no alternating current. This is an Ethernet cord that powers and controls the light. So it goes to market very differently than traditional lighting does. And so the sales force is really focused on the end customer and the end segment, but they're also focused on what's called an integrator. These are the people that put in low voltage. So you'd see this with security cameras, Wi-Fi networks, digital phones. Again, this is not on a circuit. It's on a network. And every one of these lights is addressable through basically the Internet or the network. And so it's very different technology going into buildings. So the sales force really has to attack this opportunity very differently. But, yeah, we're looking for significant growth in 17. The other thing I'd mention is that, a significant amount of our web hits are from international. And so the international market is recognizing this new technology as well. So we look to have some success internationally as well.
Well, you know, I suppose a lot of the folks that are contacted by your sales force are still locked into conduits and electricity. So it appears your sales force has to do a good deal of educating, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's, again, anytime you're changing, driving significant change, it's a lot of education. But the benefits, the features, benefits, and advantages of this system are significant. This is a great category. LEDs are a much better technology, and they save money. This technology, when combined with our software, can save up to 87% of your lighting costs, of your energy use. So it's a great sustainable technology, as well as creating some form of really optimizing the light and tailoring that to the user's experience. So if you're on a computer all day, you can dim or lower the lights to under 3,000. If you're looking at blueprints, you might want a very bright light. If the kids are taking tests, you want a very a light that's over 6,000 Kelvin. So there's so many applications for this lighting technology that we're really excited about.
Well, hey, it's been great to have you guys on today. We've had Jerry Hansacker, founder of Innovative Lighting Technologies, and Pat Meyer, currently leading the organization, talking about its founding in Roland and the fact that they're an employer of 120 people over Albia, Roland, and Ankeny locations doing manufacturing in Iowa in this day and age. So thank you, Pat and Jerry. And now, as we shift from Roland to announcements about what's coming up this weekend among writers and here at KHOI, as we begin our fun drive next week, we'd like to play a song from DeLon Thompson. Now, DeLon Thompson is from Roland. He's a musician who grew up there, and he is also the brother of Gary Thompson, who was well known as a basketball player. In fact, we interviewed Gary earlier in the year. And this is a song expressing the malaise that hits a lot of kids growing up in small towns. DeLon Thompson, and this is his song.
A few years back, I was born in this town. As I grew up, I started looking around. I just knew I had to get away from here. There's so much stuff going on out there. Oh, when I come of age and I start to fly, I'm gonna knock around this world until I die. In the summertime when I was a kid, I played a lot of baseball, that's what I did. I wasn't old enough to work very much, hanging at the station drinking Pepsi and nuts. Oh, when I come of age and I start to fly, I'm gonna knock around this world until I die. There's a lot to be said for towns this small, but I had to answer my internal call. So many things to see across this nation. I want my life to be a celebration of all those things that I plan to do. Oh, when I come of age, it will see me through. Through high school and college, I was biding my time, following rules and trying to toe their lines, but working real hard to get that college degree, when all I ever wanted was just to be free. Oh, when I come of age and I start to fly, I'm gonna knock around this world until I die. Out on my own, yes, I still have some questions, looking for answers and finding connections with people I've seen and places I've been. Sometime I'm gonna go back there again. It all started out in my hometown. Thank God they put me on solid ground. There's a lot to be said for towns this small, but I had to answer my internal call.
We also had DeLon on as a guest a few years ago, too. And when Andy Ware was talking about the softball leagues that they worked with Kiwanis, well, DeLon was a baseball player and in Roland, and now in retirement he's on a senior team down in Tucson, Arizona, and playing country music, which is what he wanted to do when he was young. And so some of the snowbirds who come down from Roland and Story City may come to his shows. So life goes on in surprising ways.
Yes, and DeLon, the lyrics really call up my own memories, too. Sitting there drinking Coke and nuts, you know, peanuts and Coke. We all did that in small towns. It really resonates.
For the rest of the program, we have a dizzying string of announcements, starting with the launch of a new radio program on KHOI tomorrow, Thursday, April 6th. At 8 p.m., and I think if you were listening from the very beginning of the program, you heard Evan announce that. It's Rebel Music Radio. And if you're available, I know that Alade and Julio would love for you to come out and show your support at their launch party here at KHOI at 7 p.m. while they count down to their inaugural broadcast at 8. And on Saturday, April 8th, we have the 5th Annual Ankeny Authors Fair. Now, this is not a KHOI event, but you're going to hear a little bit about it from Mary Richards in a minute. This is at the Pinnacle Club, 4100 Northeast Otter Creek Drive in Ankeny. And we'll have information about the authors who are going to be bringing books to that. It starts at 9 o'clock.
9 to noon.
And I was going to play Mary Richards' announcement about this a little bit later, but if you can cue that up now, I think Mary came in to tell us about that because she's got some of these authors on her community bookshelf.
This is Mary Richards. Along with Janet Kloss and Mary Howard, I produce the Community Bookshelf program for KHOI-FM. I'm glad that Susan invited me to stop by Local Talk today and talk a little bit about what things we are doing for the fund drive coming up next week, because our plans have a connection with the author fair that Susan is featuring on today's Local Talk. Three of the authors that will be at that author's fair, Karen Bovenmeyer, Anna Lone Wilsey, and Dennis Malsby, will each be coming to the community bookshelf on a day in the next 2 weeks to talk about the things that they have been writing, and in Anna's case, how one gets to be published. So we will have special programming on the community bookshelf, and we hope that you will all join us. Now, the community bookshelf features works by local authors, and occasionally we have had a book about this locality, but written by an author not from here. We are currently featuring a memoir by Susan Allen Toth, titled Ivy Days. The Community Bookshelf airs every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1 in the afternoon and is repeated at 8 in the evening. And we would all be delighted if you would join us if you are not already a regular listener of the Community Bookshelf. Of course, the special programs that are featured beginning next week are just to remind you that it really takes money. It takes our listeners' help to keep us on the air, not only the community bookshelf, but all the other programs that you enjoy on KHOI-FM. So you might get into the act a bit early and go to the website, khoifm.org, and click the donate button and get your contribution in early this pledge drive. Or you can always call 515-292-2878, and someone will be very happy to accept your donation over the phone.
Thank you, Mary. She really was getting us off to an early start with that. Actually, when I saw that the website with all the authors. And incidentally, it's worth clicking. It's a little too complicated for me to read it to you. But if you go to our website, the KHOI website, and click on Read More after the description of our program, you can see their website. They're all of these authors, the 58 or 56, I guess, are pictured along with the kind of book that the book they have for sale and a little more information about them. Unfortunately, it doesn't say where they're from. And I kept, when I was looking at it, I thought, I'd like to know just how many of these are from our listening area. And it's a really interesting variety of from mysteries, romances, a serious fiction, nonfiction. Would be a fun event to go talk to these people. Before we leave Roland, I'd like to mention just one other thing that is sort of typical of the kind of things that small towns do to just enrich their life. Most of the small towns that we've talked about, including Collins, 500 people, have community libraries, and they also have programming in the libraries, especially for children. And this Saturday in the Roland Public Library, they will have Laura Ingalls Wilder enthusiast Sarah Uthoff returning to present a program on one-room schools this weekend, the kind of schools that Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote about in Little House on the Prairie. Travel back to 1900 to experience a typical day in a one-room school just like Laura Ingalls Wilder. If you have questions, contact the library at 515-388-4086.
And starting Monday, our official fun drive programming will run all day for 2 weeks. And when we have more live programming, especially the 3 evening concerts each week, that'll be coming up, and I'll introduce the first two with a brief preview of their music. Now, on April 10th, Adam and Wally, friends and bandmates Adam Kindred and Wally Neal, play their original songs separately and unplugged. That'll be at 7 to 8 p.m. Arrive early here at the Pantorium at KHOI 410 Douglas Avenue in Ames, or listen to the live broadcast right here at 89.1 FM. And here's a brief clip of one of their new songs. It's called Glitter Goddess. Now, on April 11th, we're going to have a concert here at New Songs of Jen McClung. And Ames singer-songwriter Jen McClung shares her new songs. She'll be accompanied by Greg Bruna on bass, and that'll be from 7 to 8 p.m. here on April 11th at KHOI. Arrive early at 410 Douglas Avenue in Ames, or listen, of course, live at our station here, KHOI 89.1. And here's an especially poignant song, Before You Came, Jen McClung.
I hope that this particular song touches you the way it touched me, because it's written to a baby.
Jen McClung singing Before You Came, and she'll be here performing on April 11th.
Live.
7 to 8 live here at KHOI 410 Douglas, downtown Ames. And then on April 12th, we'll have 3 poets live from 7 to 9, 3 award-winning Central Iowa poets, Jennifer Knox, Ned Balbo, and Heather Durr-Smith. They'll be reading their work before a live audience once again, 7 to 9 at KHOI, downtown Ames, 410 Douglas. That will be on April 12th.
So listen in next week for lots of exciting new programming. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen and Paul Wearson. Our focus on a small town where good things are happening took us to Roland, where we spoke with Brian Town, principal of Roland Dory Middle School, and the Kiwanian president, Andy Webb, about their cooperation to build and stock a food pantry for students and their families in that Roland Story community. Then we spoke with Jerry Hansecker, founder of Innovative Lighting, and with Pat Meyer, the current president of that company.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon at 7 p.m., and you can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings on your news feed.
Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Reuter. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was When I Grow Up by DeLon Thompson from his CD, Git. Glitter Goddess by Adam Kindred and Wally Neal from their CD, Morning Sex and Good Weed, and Before You Came by Jen McClung from her CD, Wildfire.
And Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878, and that's 515-292-2878, or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.